come in and be able to have our minds rejuvenated. There's a lot of things that are distressing to me in this day and time. There's a lot of things that happen in our government, in the world, in the church. A lot of distressing things. But I still find refreshment in Him. Amen. We started talking last week in both services. We were talking last week, getting our eyes lifted up above everything we see around us and getting focused on the real source of hope and joy, and that is God Himself. Amen? It's only in God that we're going to find strength. We, you know, most of our lives, at least most of my life, there's been other things to look around to find security, to find confidence, to find hope for the future. I mean, our country, our church, our different things. I mean, at large, there's been a lot of things. And today, a lot of those things have been shaken. Amen. To where we don't have that same confidence and assurance that they're the answer for the future. I got news for you. They're not the answer for the future. Amen. But with God, all those other things can fall in place the way they ought to. Did you know that? Our God is able. There's questions that are far beyond what I have an answer to in many realms of life. But there's none of them beyond God. Amen? None of them beyond Him. Amen? I hope to encourage you. May God help you. I hope to encourage you this morning. Dad had preached from the 40th chapter of Isaiah last week. We're going to go back there for the benefit of those of you who weren't here, able to be here last Sunday afternoon, and read that again and start from there. While you're turning, I'm going to pray. Isaiah, the 40th chapter. If you care to turn, I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your house. We thank you for your goodness another week. We thank you for your watchful care in every avenue of life. We thank you, Lord, that you've been good to each one of us, for the protection, for the health, for all that you've given us, but most especially for your Spirit. I pray that your Spirit will anoint this morning in this service, as you already have been present. I pray you'll anoint the speaking and the hearing of your word, that we might be strengthened. More than that, that we might be encouraged, or faith might be able to reach out in a greater way for that which we stand in need of. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was meditating throughout the week, my mind kept going back to the thoughts of last Sunday, really. The thoughts that it's God we need to see, that God is sufficient for what we face. There's a lot of things that can cause us to fear. In fact, I've got to where I don't go very often much beyond the headlines. And I do every so often read an article, but not very often beyond the headlines. There's lots of things that cause us to fear. The rise of Islam, the barbaricness of it, the unrest among nations that is going on, the shuffling that's going on, the moral decline in our own country, the moral decline in our society that just seems to continue to steamroll. And if we're not careful, we can get focused on those things. Now, I think what's going on ought to get our attention. What's going on ought to cause us to be awakened. But it should not cause us to lose our faith or despair. If we're not careful, we can begin to fear the future instead of anticipating it with God. Amen? We can begin to fear the future. But we can trust the future to God. If you don't get anything else out of it this morning, I want you to hear that. You can trust the future to God. The future belongs to God. Amen? The future belongs to God. This is God's world. We often forget that because Christianity seems to be shoved in a corner. It seems to be in retreat in our day and time. So many have no awareness of God, no knowledge of God, no consideration of God. But yet this is God's world. Amen? God planned it. God created it. God sustains it. Amen. The fact that the stars are hung in space, the moon revolves, we can scientifically explain why some of that happens. But I tell you what, beyond it all, it's God that holds everything in place. God's going to accomplish His purposes in this created world while it stands. Do you know that? Everything that God foresaw and planned to do in this world, He will accomplish while the world stands. This world will end when God says it ends. It'll end according to God's plan. It'll end according to God's wisdom. God already knows the day. Nobody else does. Nobody else does. Period. Or will. It's committed to God alone. For very good reason. Everybody think they know the end has done nothing but create havoc, embarrassment, and trouble within the body of Christ. Amen? Nobody has. Nobody will. God's reserved that to himself. Our God is beyond our comprehension to take in his enormity. We can't even take in. Brother Ron was mentioning how huge our universe is. Our minds can't even take in the size of our universe. When we start having to express things in millions of light years or thousands of light years, millions and billions of miles, we can't even comprehend how long, how far that really is. Amen? We have a hard time comprehending how big our little solar system is in the midst of our galaxy, which is one of several. Amen? We can't take in, but our God fills all space. He's everywhere all the time. There's nothing that can be known that he doesn't already know. There's nothing in its enormity or in its minuteness that can be discovered but what God already knew. There's nothing that ever has happened or ever will happen that God doesn't already know. He doesn't forget. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't grow weary. There's no comprehending God's power. God can give life. He can create life. Amen? God from nothing can create anything. And I say all that because too often we see this world and we see the problems. And all we see is us. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes that's a good thing because you need to know we are not sufficient for what's going on. Collectively, we're not sufficient for what's going on in this world. Amen? No one is sufficient for what's going on. But there is one who is, and that's our God. Amen? Isaiah the 40th chapter, verse 12 says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heavens in a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in the scales, and the hills in a balance?" You know what he's saying? The oceans. He measured them out in the palm of his hand. Amen? The stars, he just put them out there through the span of his hand. Amen? He said, "To comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure." That means all the dirt that's out here, just like a little dust in a measure to God. He weighed the mountains and the hills in the balance. Who directed the Spirit of the Lord? Abrini's counselor taught him. There's no one who can add anything to God's knowledge about anything. With whom took he counsel and who instructed him, taught him in the path of judgment, taught him knowledge, showed him the way of understanding. God has revealed to us what's right and wrong, but God's known it all along. Amen? Amen. Behold, the nations or as a drop in the bucket and count as small dust in the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. Then they ain't nothing, no matter how powerful, that amounts to anything with God. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, counted to him less than nothing in vanity. Nothing is a match for our God. Amen? Amen. Verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain, spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow on them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom, then, will you liken me, or shall be my equal, saith the Holy One? What are you going to compare God to? He's beyond all the rulers of the world. He's beyond all the nations of the world, beyond all the people of the world. There's nothing you can compare God to. Amen? Amen? Not even the whole universe in its entirety can be compared to God. We forget that, don't we? Too often, our God don't get too much bigger than us some days. And we get filled with fear. I tell you what, when you take in who our God really is, our faith ought to be increased. It says, lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might. For he's strong in power, and not one faileth. He's saying, take a look outside sometime at night. Behold the stars. God knows every one of them. We still have to get more and more. If you have a powerful enough telescope at night, the entire sky looks white with stars. Virtually no speck that doesn't have a star with a strong enough power, powerful enough telescope. God knows every one of them. Many, many, many of them, much larger than our sun. The enormity of it's beyond our fathoming. Yet God knows every detail of everything everywhere. Nothing has taken God by surprise. There's things that jolt me from time to time. Things that surprise me. Things I didn't have in my planning. Things that I did not have in anticipation. Yet nothing's taken God by surprise. Isaiah 46:9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there's none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that were not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. He's saying, God knows the end from the beginning. God knows everything that will happen, everything that has happened, and everything that is happening right now. God sees and knows all of it. None's hid from him. Amen? Nothing's impossible with God. It's repeated throughout the Bible. But Luke 1:37 says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. There is absolutely nothing that God can't accomplish. Amen. And he said, my counsel will stand. I'll do it. You know what that means God, before he created the earth, knew what would happen, purposed in his mind what he would accomplish, and it's right on track. God will accomplish everything he intended to. Does that mean that God's pleased with everything going on? You know better than that. Does that mean everything's happening according to God's will? Absolutely not. But it does mean that ain't none of it taking God by surprise. Ain't none of it beyond his power. We can trust the future to God. Amen? God really is in control, not only of the now, God's in control of the future. God has a plan for this world that he is accomplishing. But closer to home, God has a plan for your life. Not only did God see the whole creation, God seen you. The good, the bad, the ugly, the pretty, everything about you. God seen all of it. God had a plan, has a plan for your life. Amen? And God is accomplishing that plan in your life. If you know the Lord, God is working good in your life. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called, and whom he called, them also he justified, and whom he justified, them also he glorified. What do we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? God causes all things to work together for our good. God did not say that all things are good. We live in a sin-cursed world. People sin. Every time someone commits sin, evil comes into the world. Damage is done. Amen? God never wills anybody to sin, ever. He's a good and holy God. But he allows to show what's in our heart, really, in this time world. And when somebody sins, evil comes in. But you know what? God has promised no matter what comes into your life, good or bad, in time, he will turn it for our good. Amen? I don't mean it'll be good. He just said he will turn it. Is that not what he said? We know. All things work together for our good. He went on and said, whom he did foreknow. Foreknowledge means God knew you, as Brother Chad sang. before you was ever born. God knew all about you. He knew there was a day that you would be brought into life, a life that doesn't have an end. Has a destiny, but not an end. He knew all about you. He knew the dumb mistakes we'd make. He knew the evil we would do. But he also knew our love for us. And God seen those whom he could win by his love. And seeing that, he predetermined that he would win those by his love. Through their voluntary choice. The fact that God knew and God determined to save you doesn't change your choice in the matter. Amen? It's still your choice, but God knew and he determined that he would show his love to you, win you by his love to himself. He called you. Then he justified you through the death of Jesus Christ, brought into right relationship. You know, sin can't be forgiven. Sin has to be paid. We're only forgiven because somebody paid the price for our sins. God didn't overlook it. Jesus Christ hung there in agony for your and I's sins. Amen. He paid the price. It's free to us, but it cost Jesus Christ his life and suffering on the cross. And then he said, those who he justified, them also he glorified. They create in us the very glory of Jesus Christ, Christ's life lived out through us and then ultimately glorified in a resurrected body in all eternity with Jesus Christ. Well, what do we say to these things then? If God be for us, who can be against us? If it's this great God of the Bible that creates and holds and inhabits all things, if he's for us, if he's on our side, who can be against us? Amen? Not only is God for us, God truly loves us. That's a hard thing for us to take in because we know ourselves. As unlovely as we are at times, yet God loved us. Romans 5:8, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we had shaped up a good guy in our self-love, self-pleasing, sinful self. God gave himself for us. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's love. That God loved us and sent Christ to die for us. Not just to become servants. John 15:15 says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father have made known to you. What an awesome thing to be a friend of God. This is reality, folks. That awesome Creator who inhabits all things, who is beyond our comprehension, nothing can be compared to him, loves us. Gave himself to redeem us. Not just as his servants, but called us his friends and even went beyond that. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Not just even friends. What an awesome thing to be a friend of God. Amen? But beyond that, he said, I've adopted you as my children. Be called his children. The Spirit beareth, Romans 8:6, the Spirit bears witness with our witness that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Not only adopted into the family, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means all an heir is one who inherits. All that Jesus Christ is to receive from God, we're joint heirs with, to receive it with him. I tell you what, if our minds could even take in a fraction of what that means, our joy would be a lot bigger than what it is. Amen? If our faith would be much strengthened, if our minds could just take in a fraction of what that really means to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen? Wherefore, 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore, let them that suffer, that kind of tells us that there might be some suffering in this time world. Now we got a promise of a place where there is no more suffering, no more tears, no more sadness, no more sin, no more evil of any kind. Amen? That's where we're going to spend the vast majority of our existence if we know Jesus Christ. Amen? We got a little time frame here on this earth that we may suffer. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. He's faithful. Even though we may suffer, Jesus Christ is faithful to us. Amen. Amen. Our God is trustworthy. He's a faithful God. Faithful means to be reliable, dependable, trustworthy. It's our God. He's reliable. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why He revealed Himself to us through His Word, so we can see what He's like, how He dealt with others, how He's going to deal with us. Amen? He showed what He's like so we can depend on Him. What you've experienced with God to this point in your life, you can count on Him. Being dependable until the end. Amen? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Matthew 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. What God's done in the past, we can depend on Him to do again. God's both willing and able to help us. He's all-powerful. He knows everything there is to know. He loves us. He's planned for our good. He's constantly, every day, working for our good. Hey, and you know how much wisdom that takes and how much foresight it takes to allow people to make their own choices and yet accomplish His will in this world? To see what people's going to choose and yet work it for our good amidst all the evil, amidst all the sin, yet God working for our good. Amen? He loves us. He's faithful. He can be depended on. I know sometimes we fear the future. We got a God who's able for anything. Not only powerful and big enough, but He loves us. He's faithful. And He's promised to be our protection. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Amen? This time world's seen a lot of stuff happen. There's been prosperity. There's been peace. There's been wars. There's been persecutions. There's been all kinds of events take place in this world. Amen? Different countries and different times have experienced different things. Life has not always been the same for everybody in this creation. I don't know what the future holds. Amen? I'm not telling you nothing bad's going to happen. I'm not telling you there's no hard places ahead. What I am telling you is we have a God who sees it all and is able for it all and is concerned about us and is able to take us through whatever we face. Amen? Amen? John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them unto me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. You know what He's saying? Ain't nobody a match for God. You keep yourself in God's hand, you're in a safe place. Now you take yourself out of God's plan, all bets are off. You take yourself out of God's hand, all bets are off, folks. Amen? But you stay in God's hand. There ain't nothing or nobody that can touch you. Amen? Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. He is our protection. We have a real Satan, a real devil, who has been on the destruction of each one of us. is bent on our eternal damnation. Yet we have one with us who is mightier. Satan will scheme. Satan will lay traps. Yet we have one that no weapon can be successful against us if we depend on him. Amen? It seems so feeble when I convert it into words. But I hope somehow you get the picture in your mind of what a great God we serve. His power, his very presence in all things is beyond our comprehension. We cannot take in what an incredible God we serve. How incredible in power, in majesty, in wisdom. We can't take it in. It's too big for us. The whole earth is as nothing. No one, no nation, no nothing. All of them together are no match for God. But not only is God powerful, God truly loves you and I. God had a plan. In this world, and I believe the Bible don't directly say this. This is my opinion. You can believe what you want. But I believe in this creation, there's only one thing in it for God. Ultimately. Now there's lots other. Ultimately one thing for God. God is truly an awesome God. He is pure. He's holy, and he loves. And God desired beings who had a free will to choose, who could see him for what he really is. He could reveal himself, show him for what he really is, and ultimately show his love for them so that they would voluntarily choose the salvation he gave them. And choose to love him in return. And at the end of all this, there's only one thing that's going to remain. And that is those who belong to God. At the end of all this, and I don't know when that is, the only thing that's going to remain is God's going to take those that trusted him, that loved him, that seen him as he is. He's going to take them to a place that is beyond our comprehension good. We don't know of anything that has no bad in it whatsoever. None. No getting old. Now, some of you ain't old enough to think how good that is, but no getting old. No getting sick. No sorrow. No broken relationships. No disappointments. Amen? Amen. Nothing bad ever again. Life without end and real life. In a real body, a resurrected body, in a real world. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be perfect, and it's made for real bodies, real people. Jesus Christ, there forever with us. Forever. Time without end. That's what's going to survive this world. All the elements, all the physical things of this world, someday, Peter tells us, are going to vanish. Smoke and flame and be gone. Nothing going to remain. Be dissolved. Amen? Those who rejected God will fall into a lost eternity, which is just the opposite of heaven. You conjure up as bad, hopeless, painful existence as you can get in your mind, and that's where those who reject God is going to spend eternity. Couldn't be more different. Today, it's become a fairy tale to too many people. But there is coming a day when that's the only thing that's going to mean anything is do we truly know him as our Savior? Do we truly know he's love and responded to him love? Like I said before, I don't know what the future holds. I believe we're at a tipping point. I don't know that. That's what I believe. I believe we're at a point where either we'll get serious about seeking God and see revival come, or we'll face judgment. And the truth is, I see little bits of stirring of both. I do see signs of God's judgment in our society, but I also see some hopeful signs of people becoming, well, coming to the end of themselves. And that's the first part. Coming to a point of knowing we ain't got it, we ain't sufficient for it. to where we can begin to seek Him. I don't know. That's what I think. But this I do know. With God, the future's bright. Even if it means suffering, even if it means judgment. With God, the future's bright. Why? It doesn't mean we won't face difficulties. Even if judgment don't come, don't exempt you from suffering and difficulties, right? Everybody else around you could be blessed and you have suffering and difficulties. This life is not the place of our reward. This life is not the place where fairness is meted out. Amen? This life is not fair. There's coming a day when it's going to be settled. The account's settled. And it will be fair. In fact, it'll be beyond fair. Those of us that enter into heaven will feel so unworthy to be there. Amen? Because the truth is, we are. Our worth is in Jesus Christ's death. Amen? The future's bright. Doesn't mean we won't face difficulties. But it does mean God's still in control. God still loves us. God's still working His plan, both in this world and in your and my life. He will still care for us, provide for us, and protect us as His children, whatever events happen around us and in our own life. And for that reason, we can face the future with confidence instead of dread. We can trust God instead of being ate up with anxiety. And in fact, get a strong enough grip, we can face the future with a little bit of anticipation of what God can do in our own life and God can do around us. Amen? I'm going to tell you, God's able to do above and beyond what you can even imagine. You let your imagination run wild, God can do more. Amen? He has. He can change things in a day. Now, God does bring judgment in His wrath when He's pushed to it. Amen? Amen? We see that in history. But God also can change the situation in a day. And for that reason, it behooves us to seek Him in prayer for His mercy, but do so with the confidence that our God is able. Amen. Ephesians 3:21, now unto Him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, throughout all ages, world without end. He can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can even ask and think. That means more than you can imagine, more than you can ask for, God's able to do. Amen? God ain't limited by nothing or nobody. Amen? He ain't. But let's not grow faint. Let's not grow weary. Let's instead lift our eyes above all the nonsense going on around us. Get our eyes above it. Behold, the one who sits on the circle of the earth, the one who's in control of it all. Keep our focus there and then seeking for the help we need in our own life and the help we need in the church and the help we need in our society around us, the help we need in our nation. Amen. My fear is that too often we see the problems and we're wasting a whole bunch of time fretting and worrying instead of really seeking the help that we stand in need of. Spend a whole lot of time looking at the secondary sources of help instead of really getting our eyes on God. And I pray God help me to lift up my eyes in a greater way. Have a greater vision, a greater faith. My prayer is the same for each one of you. And God will help you get your eyes lifted up, your faith strengthened, so that we might be able to be used by God in a greater way. Amen? To be an instrument that He can use to help turn back this tide of evil. Amen? May God.